Let the church say amen. Amen. Salvation has been brought down. Amen. You don't believe me, don't sound like. Amen. All right. Amen. Let the church say amen to that. I want to say good morning to each and every one of you, especially those who I have not had an opportunity to personally say good morning. I want to say good morning to all of you. Without an exception, God is good. And all the time, God is good. He is good because He has left us here. You know, when I laid my head down last night, just like you did, presumably, we went to sleep not knowing if we were going to get up this morning. But God saw fit to raise our eyelids and then raise us up. Prepared our way that we may make it out to church. And I'm just amazed. And I know I don't want to step on any football fans' toes today, but it's amazing how people can go out 3 hours before the gates open or even longer to be at the Bears game, but they can't get to church on time. Now, there's a painted picture there for you that's wrongly painted. God has been good to us. The Bears have not. So we ought to think of that when we make our choices on a Sunday morning. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. And the verse reads, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus, Christ Jesus." So for our subject this morning, we want to talk about Jesus the man. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer, though, firstly. O righteous God in heaven, we have been blessed once again. You have seen fit to leave us here to be lights into a dark world once again. Father, I just pray that we all will let our light shine brightly, that others may see. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who because of his sacrifice on the cross, we have an opportunity to have eternal life. Father, I thank you so very much for the church this morning, especially this local congregation. We pray for those who might be sick in and about the church. We pray for those who are unable to be with us this morning. We just pray for strength. For them that they may be able to return at the next appointed time. Father, I pray for those who are here and especially for those who are not feeling well but are still here. Father, we thank you and we pray and ask you to be with each and every one of us. Father, we thank you that one day on a hill called Calvary, Father, your Son hung, bled, and died for us. Not for him, but for us. And we thank you, Father, for it produced the church of Christ. From the cross, the blood and the water came out of the side of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. Father, I pray for those who are up and about this morning and on their way that they may soon get here if they are coming to this congregation, O Lord. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the governmental leaders that take care of the business of our living. And Father, we just pray that they might not make any rules or regulations that will prevent or harm us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for each and every brother that has taken part in the services this morning. And we pray for those who shall come beyond this point. We pray for our leaders in the congregation and we pray for their families as well. Also, Father, that they might be a light unto the rest of the world, that they may be a shining example to all of us, especially to those of us who are under their constituency. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything. And Lord, it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray for and ask it all. Let the church say amen. Jesus was not and is not just another man. He is and he was different from any other man this world has ever known. What distinguished Jesus from all other men? None was and will ever be like him. That's the main point. So today I'd like for us to take a look at some of the things that make him different. When one makes the decision to serve God and to call him their master, it will be the best decision one can ever make. The Bible tells and shows us the story of Jesus. It also tells us of his life from birth here on earth and his death, and most importantly, his resurrection and return to heaven. Let us look at for a few minutes and see the man Jesus, who the man Jesus is. He is the God-man. We but need to look at the Word of God, and we shall see how that the birth of Jesus was among the top miracles man has ever known. Man has known many miracles, has seen and heard of many miracles on this earth, but none quite like the miracle of the virgin death, birth. Watch the earthly announcement of his human beginnings in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, from which being interpreted is God with us." God knew the world needed to be brought to attention. So the verse starts off with the word "behold," which commands both attention and admiration. We need to learn to understand nothing like the upcoming birth had ever happened before this prophecy came about, nor since then either. The birth of Jesus was unlike any man, every man's birth. He was both God and man. And so the question becomes, how do we know this? Well, if you just read the Word of God in 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on him in the world, received up into glory." How many men can make this part of their reference on their resume? While he lived on this earth, he took the human form of a man. If you don't believe it, read in Isaiah at your own leisure. Read Isaiah chapter 53 when you have time. And specifically, though, we'll look at verse number 3 of Isaiah 53. This chapter says he was a man of sorrow. Isn't that what humans face? Don't we all face sorrows at some time or another? Watch some of the human traits about Jesus. He became tired and needed to sleep in Matthew 4:38. He became hungry in chapter 4 and verse number 2 of Matthew. He showed compassion in John chapter 11 and verse number 35. He also showed us he was God by the miracles he performed, as in John chapter 2, where he went to a wedding, by forgiving people in John chapter 8, and by preaching his message of love and obedience. These are some of the things that make Jesus different than humans, as human beings, the rest of us are. Sometimes we question the power of God. Sometimes we say things like, "I don't believe anybody can fix this," or "I don't believe anybody can fix that." Well, God can. God can fix anything. He can repair everything, including a broken heart. Some folks say, "Well, I just don't believe it, and therefore I don't believe that any man has that power." Well, Jesus does. Jesus has the power to fix all things and everything. As I like to say it often, with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. He is a perfect man. How can one be perfect and live in this world, somebody may say? Well, I simply give you the simple answer: by not giving in to the world. Jesus did just that, the Bible says, speaking of him in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judges righteously. Jesus did not use what we like to use so often in our lifetime. He did not use the get even approach. That's what people like to do today when they say they'll get others for deceiving and being threatened by them. They say, I'll get even with him. He simply allowed God to handle it. He did not cause violence or wrongdoing to anyone. His words were always kind and sincere. Would not this be a better world today if we were all kind and sincere and allowed God to take care of things? Would not we live a different kind of lifestyle? Can you imagine on your way to church this morning, especially if you are a driver, can you imagine if someone actually was courteous to you on your drive to church? Can you imagine someone who gave you an even break to get out into traffic? But no, nobody cares today. Nobody cares about anybody but me. It's all about me. I'm everything in this world and nobody else matter. But Jesus was not like that, and thank God he was not like that. Jesus, as he stood before Pilate in John chapter 18, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. No fault at all. Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus, admitted in his own words. In Matthew chapter 27, he said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. While he was more interested in making money than the spreading and telling of the truth about Jesus. When your enemies and those who would do you wrong admit there is no fault in you, that's good. But even if they don't, I ask this question this morning. Are you living a life that's pleasing in the sight of God? If you don't know him, I would suggest this is the time to learn to get to know him. This is the time to meet and come to him. This is a good time. Look at the text again in second chapter of Timothy in verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. And I want you to notice something there. It says that he is the one mediator between God and men. That means all men. That doesn't mean just me as a man or just you as a man. That means men in general. And that also picks up women as well. Jesus is the man approved of God. It really doesn't matter what the world and men think of Jesus. Certainly he would prefer that all men would come to him, obey him, and be obedient to him. But the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22 tells it all when it said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him of you as you yourself also know. Jesus may have been condemned by man, but he was approved by God. He did things that ordinary men could not even think of, much less do. God the Father gave him the divine power and authority to do these things. Jesus is the one approved by God as the only Savior, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is approved by the word of God to be the builder of his church. In Matthew 16 and 18, where he pronounced, upon this rock I will build my church. And he is the head of it. So the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 23 that Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Peter is not the head of the church. He's dead. John is not the head of the church. He's dead. Paul is not the head of the church. He's dead. No pope is the head of the Lord's church because they, like other men, will one day come to die as well. No man could do what Jesus did and do what Jesus does. Jesus is the man for every reason and every season. He is the perfect one to invite to your wedding. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He is our hope in time of hopelessness. He is our shelter in times of storm. And oh yeah, don't let me forget, he is our Savior for an eternity, for eternity. Do you need to let him know today? Have you been to Jesus? Have you already came to Jesus? Or are you still waiting? And if you are still waiting, I might ask the question, what are you waiting for? You know, some say, I'll wait for another time. But how do you know you're going to have another time? Some say, I'll wait for another day. How do you know you'll have another day? Some say, I'll wait till the weather gets better because I need to be baptized and it's cold outside and I don't want to catch a cold. Well, chances are you might catch a cold whether you get baptized or not, but it's better to be baptized than not. So I asked the question this morning, if you need him, what are you waiting for? Will you just continue to skate on till another time, or will there be another time? Why take the chance? So when I go back and look at there's but one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Nobody here in this room, in this auditorium this morning, can mediate between you and God. Only Jesus. Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. So I ask the question once again this morning. Why wait? Why put it off? Why wait for another time when the time is right now? Why take that chance when today is the day of salvation? Jesus the man went to the cross for us. Jesus the Lord will forgive us. So what are you waiting for? He forgives sins on a daily basis. All you have to do is but come to him. And somebody may ask the question this morning, if I come to Jesus, will my life be better? Well, if you're living on a fringe right now, certainly it can't get very much worse, can it? If you're living on the edge, you need to come off the edge, and you need to come where your blessings may come to you, and you may receive your blessings from God himself. Somebody may ask the question again, or they may make the statement and say, I just don't believe what you all believe in. Well, don't believe what I believe in, but believe in what the Bible tells you to believe in. I'm not here to push my religion on you. I'm here to push the gospel on you. The gospel of death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you ought to be listening to. I'm just a vessel being used to put the word out there, but it's not my words. I didn't write the Bible. I'm not one of the contributing writers to the Bible. I simply write and preach and teach what the Bible already has written for mankind. When you think about the cross, what do you feel when you think about the cross? Can you picture the cross in your own mind? The cross of Jesus on Calvary's hill. When they put Jesus on the cross and they nailed him to the cross. Can you imagine the pain? I'll tell you about me. I'll just be straight up with you. I hate to go to the doctor and even get a blood test because I don't like needles. So can you imagine the pain that Jesus went through when he was nailed to the cross? I wouldn't do it for you. I'll just make that up front, put that out up front. I couldn't do it for you. But Jesus did it for us. And I can imagine Just looking at the picture of the cross, and I can just imagine what the pain must have been like when Jesus hung on that cross. Rejected, or he thought he was rejected by his Father. For he asked, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he felt rejected and left on the cross all by himself when the disciples ran away from him. But you know something? He was not alone. For God refused the sun to shine. And God created a miracle in that everything that went the right way that it was supposed to according to the scriptures. So I ask the question again this morning. What are you waiting for? The church is here. The pool is ready. Brother Jackson is able, and God is willing to accept you if you but come to him. Somebody say, "Well, I learned a long time ago from my grandmother." And many of us remember the lessons that our grandmother taught us. I remember from my grandmother some of the lessons she taught me. I remember sitting down in front of a fireplace in an old house in the country. I remember my mother reading stories to me from the Bible. And those stuck with me. And many of you have memories of your grandmother or your mother or whomever it is that leaves you with these precious memories. But the one thing I remember most of all is she didn't give me her opinion, but she read the Bible to me. And therefore, she must have been reading directly from what she was telling me, because she was reading it too straight to make up words. She didn't make up a story. I happened not to read a Dr. Seuss until I got older. But I had the Bible read unto me. And that's what's missing in life today for many of our children. They don't have the Bible being read to them. They don't have the love of God instilled in them. And so they have time enough to think up evil things to do and evil ways to live. But I want to say something here. God is right, church. God is right. The church is right. So I ask the question, are you right? You know, there's a difference. I heard it in Bible class this morning. Somebody was speaking of being a good man. But a good man is not necessarily a righteous man. A righteous man is different from a good man. Most of us call ourselves good men and good women because we try to do the right thing. But are you a righteous man or a righteous woman? And there is a distinction there. Being good means that I might do the right thing, or I might try, but do I live righteously? Do I have God on my side? Do I live for the Lord? And then on Sunday morning, when Sunday morning rolls around, and I know my time is about up, when Sunday morning rolls around, there should be no question in our minds where we're going on Sunday morning. The only question should be in my mind on a Sunday morning is, what am I going to wear? And I know that if I go and look in my closet, God will point me out something. He'll show me what all he has given me, and then it's my choice on what I put on. But some folk will say, "I would have came to church last week, but I didn't have a thing to wear. But yet I see them this week." So if you didn't have it last week, where did you get it from this week? And then when I look at it a little further, I ask myself the question also, is what if God decided to go on strike one day? What would we all do? If God didn't grant any blessings for one day, if God refused to let the sun shine for one day, If God refused to let the moon shine in the night sky for one night, if God went on strike for one day, where would we be, church? But thank God, he has not decided to go on strike. And let us be thankful for that. Jesus, the man, was like unlike any other man that's ever lived, and never will be another one like him. For he was a man and human man and God at the same time. But God is all right this morning. And I thank him for being who he is and what he is. You know, I didn't get a blessing because a man came and knocked on my door this morning to wake me up. But God lifted the eyelids of my sleepy eyes, and I woke up and I came back to life. And so did you. And we ought to be thankful for that. Then I made a conscious decision this morning to get up. And when I got up, I had to make a decision. What are you going to eat? So you made your choice on what you decided to eat. Well, God had gave you plenty to eat. All you had to do is decide on what you wanted to eat. So I asked the question, another question this morning. If God has been so good to us, why do we refuse to be good back to him? And God doesn't ask us to pay for what he gives us. He doesn't ask us to send him any kind of donations for what he give us. He does ask us to give at the church house now, though. Let me just make that clear. Give to the church now. But he doesn't ask you to send him a check for what he's done for you. You see, God doesn't need our money. But the church needs our money. The church needs the money to carry on and to do the works for the Lord. The church needs the money to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus the man and Jesus God doesn't need anything from us. He didn't ask for our help in making any of this world when he made this world. When he made the oceans, did he ask you how much water to put in it? I don't think so. When he makes the moon to shine at night, does he ask you, should I make it a half moon or a quarter moon? I don't think so. But yet God is still in charge, and sometimes we refuse to hear the fact and understand the fact that God is in charge. And I know that one day it's going to all be over. And no one likes to part this life and say goodbye to this life and their loved ones. But we have to understand that day is coming. And you want to be right with the God, the Master. You want to be right with Jesus, the Savior. You want to be right with Jesus, who is the who will be our judge in the end. Because it'll be a sad time when God tells you, depart from me, for I know you not. Your works were that of iniquity. So get it right now. Get it right while you still can. Ask yourself one question this morning. If God loves me, why don't I love him back? And I'm not saying that you don't. All I'm saying is that do you? And you have to take an inventory of yourself to answer that question. I can't answer it for you. I can only answer for me. And I know that when that time comes, when that judgment is brought up, we're all going to have to face him. Ready or not, we shall have to face him. But he'll be a righteous judge. But we're going to have to stand before him. And when we stand before him, he may ask the question of us, did you remember me as a man when I came down to earth, was born in human form, walked the earth for 30 plus years and was treated like I was treated? Do you remember how I sacrificed for you on the cross? Do you remember how that I hung, bled, and died for you? And yet you didn't take the time to give me one courtesy, 1 ounce of courtesy and 1 ounce of your time, let alone your money. So ask yourself the question, do I need Jesus? And I'll answer it for you before you answer it. I'll say, yes, you do. Yes, we all do. Yes, we need him because we can't get by without him. And I know what some of us think, that I'm in this all by myself, but you're not. So how do I come to Jesus? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And somewhere along the line, we do walk astray. Even the preacher can walk astray too. But all of us might walk astray at one time or another, because we're not perfect people. We're not without sin. We may not be living sinners, but we're not without or above sin. So the question becomes, if I do walk astray, if I do go wrong, if I step on somebody's foot and just ignore the fact that I stepped on their toes and hurt them, should I just ignore that? No, you ask the Lord, you ask that person to forgive you and ask the Lord to forgive you for doing that. But if I do go astray, what are my options? Well, you can ask the Lord for forgiveness. You can ask the church to pray for you. You come forward and ask the church to pray for you. And I like to tell you from time to time, when you get up here, face the audience and let me know what you're asking for. You don't have to tell me what you're asking me to pray for you for, but just say, I need your prayers. You know, none of us are that far from being sick and shut in. And so sometimes you ought to just thank God for your health and your strength. Sometimes you ought to just say, I ask the Lord that I may keep my health and my strength for as long as I possibly can. And I'm finding out something. I may as well tell you. The older I get, the more hurts I get. I didn't know that I could have pain where I have pain at sometimes now. I didn't even know that part of the body existed for anything except for me to use. You talk about your knees can go bad, your hips can go bad, your arm, elbows can go bad. Well, see, we take all these things for granted until the time the doctor says you need a knee replacement or a hip replacement or an elbow replacement. Or you need a stent in your heart. They will say that. So you need to know somebody who, when you have to go into that surgical room, you need to have somebody to go in there with you. Not simply the doctor, the anesthesiologist, and the nurse, and the assistant. You need somebody else to go in there with you. You need the Lord to be in that operating room with you. Because he can guide all of those people who are going to do a procedure on you. He knows how to guide them and give them a ready recollection of what they may already know. But he, I speak of Jesus, is your ally when you got to go in for a surgical procedure. When you just got to go to the doctor or the dentist's office, you need somebody in there with you. Somebody asked the church to pray for them because they're going to have some dental work done. That was the right frame and the right thing to do, to ask for the Lord to be with them throughout their ordeal. What do you have that you need the Lord for? Something. Each and every one of us has something we need to ask the Lord for, to help us with, to help us get through it. So if you got something on your mind that hasn't been quite right with you, and you need to confess that, come before the church as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.